Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And wherever you are, go ahead and share tonight's episode with someone, with a friend. And if you're driving in your car, let someone know where they can hear TMG.
It's time to get on board. TMG is taking off.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to TMG. I'm your host, Travis Patton Sr. I enjoy discovering and sharing real-life moments of inspiration from everyday people. And this show is about finding moments of inspiration for our everyday lives. And look, and if you're going to tell me something, then tell me something good.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of TMG. I'm your host, Travis Patton Sr. Hey, guys, real quick, do me a favor. You know how we like to do this, guys. Visit and share and like our YouTube page. That's Tell Me Something Good with a capital T. And as always, guys, I want to begin every episode and give a huge shout out to my biggest supporter, my biggest fan, my lovely wife, Nicole. Hey, girl, how you doing? I know you're watching. I know you're listening. Man, I am so excited that you are joining me today, that you took out the time of your day to join me here at TMG. Thank you so much. And wherever you are in the world listening to the show, whether this is your very first time listening to the show or maybe you've been listening to the show for the 4 years that we've been streaming, thank you so much. I'm so happy that you're here. And whether you're listening in Taiwan or in Hong Kong, or maybe you're listening in Panama or Bangladesh or UK or Canada, wherever you've turned on and you're listening, thank you so much for tuning in. Guys, tonight's episode is going to be a great one. It's going to be a fantastic one. I can hardly wait. And I'm part of the show. Can you believe that? Man, this is going to be good. It's going to be spectacular. Come on in, everybody. That's right. Come on in. Thank you for tuning in to the show. Guys, I'm going to get it out of here. Look behind me. Yeah, you see that? It's Black History Month. Guys, through this entire month, we have been celebrating Black History Month, and it's all because we want to highlight the accomplishments that individuals of color have made to the entire world. And I've said this before, that regardless of where you may be in life, regardless of what you may feel, or people may have made you feel like you're undervalued and maybe like you're overlooked, you better understand that you have been created to change the world. You have been created to leave your mark. Don't leave this earth until they know your name. Yeah, I'm going to leave it right there. If you're going to leave this earth, they better remember your name. That's how you do that. Guys, everybody knows that this show is all about finding ways to be inspired and motivated in our everyday life. So if you have an inspiring story that you would like to share and maybe come on the show, guys, drop us an email. That's TELLMeSomething21@gmail.com. And say, well, Travis, man, I know someone that has an inspiring story that would like to come on the show, but I don't want to come on the show because I'm a little camera shy. That's okay. You can still email us their information at TELLMeSomething21@gmail.com. And you can even remain anonymous if you'd like. So there you go. Guys, you know that we have a few affiliate sponsors here at the show. That's right. We have some affiliate sponsors, guys, a part of TMG. I'm going to play that information. Once I play the information, guys, we're going to come right back. We're going to dive into the show. Don't you go anywhere. This is about to get real, real good.
Walmart is a proud associate sponsor of TMG Tell Me Something Good podcast. Please use the special link, bit.ly/tellmesomethinggood, and visit our sponsor. Remember, I may earn a commission when you buy through this link. Amazon. Amazon is the world's largest online retail store. Please use the special link, bit.ly/tellmesomethingAMZN for Amazon. With Amazon, you could spend less and smile more. Please visit one of our online sponsors today.
There it is, guys. Please visit one of our online sponsors. You can use the special links that are now in the chat, or if you're not watching this, you can follow the information that was given out in the videos, guys. Today's episode, if you did not catch it, today's topic, guys, is the beautiful road. Yeah, the beautiful road. And I know that's got you scratching your head right now. I get it. That's a bit of a head scratcher where we're going to go with that. We're going to get started with that, guys, because you're wondering what makes a road beautiful. I get it. But every journey begins somewhere, whether you're going to the corner store or whether you're going to a house of a relative or a friend or a loved one. But every journey begins somewhere. When you meet people, you're meeting them at a point in their journey. It might be the beginning, it might be the middle, but wherever you are, you're meeting someone in a journey. So every journey begins somewhere, and not all journeys start or begin the same. And as much as we would like each of our journeys to begin smoothly, the truth is they do not all begin on nicely paved roads with well, brightly colored yellow lines running down the middle, depicting well-defined boundaries. Sometimes in life, these boundaries are crossed because either the road is worn, too worn to see them, or were never painted there in the to begin with. Guys, our special guest today will share how through her faith, she continued to find ways to make her road beautiful. Now, she is a first-time author and a proud mother and an advocate for self-healing. Guys, do me a favor. I want you to give a huge TMG welcome to Courtney Cox. Courtney, what's up, girl? How you doing?
Hello. I am doing amazing. Thank you for having me.
Woo-woo. Courtney, yeah. Woo-woo. Are so glad that you decided to be here today, girl. What's been going on?
Oh, life. I am honored. I am blessed to be here. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm just happy to be here. I mean, like you said, the road to beauty is here, what we're going to be talking about today. And just the bumps and sometimes the dips that we go through on the road. But we have to know that it leads to a beautiful place. And so I'm glad to be here and talking about this with you today.
Woo! Courtney, listen, I'm excited. I've been watching what you've been doing, seeing the things you've been doing. And man, this is going to be a great, great episode, guys. The beautiful road, guys. I want to put a picture later on, guys. I'm gonna put up a picture later on, and I'm going to put up a video, guys. I want you to see. So we could talk about kind of illustrate what we're talking about. Now, Courtney, now you and I, you know, we've talked before, and we talked before the show, And prior to the show, we had a lot of great conversation. Do you mind telling the audience a little bit about yourself? And let's see, just tell us a little bit about yourself. I know some things about you, Courtney, but they don't. Yeah. So fill in the blanks if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Pastor Travis, as I call him, did an amazing job at, you know, introducing me and bringing me on. But I would say, like a lot of you and a lot of us, I wear many hats. You know, I am a mother, a daughter, a sister, a friend, an entrepreneur. I also work in corporate America. So I do a lot. But most recently, God has called me out and said, hey, I need you to actually, you know, step up and to walk alongside my people and on this beautiful road and the road to beauty. So I am, like Travis said, a first-time author. I recently released my book, Stops Road, The Road to Beauty, where I go through my healing journey, and I go through my healing journey with whoever read this book. You're going through the healing journey with me. So it's really one of those things where it's completely has me. And this may sound kind of weird to people who have never heard it before, but it has me in a sense where I feel completely naked. And it's because I'm releasing and telling some things that I've held in. And I said, God, I will never tell these things. But
you told them.
I told them, and it gave me a lot of freedom, and it got, you know, directed me to do it. So outside of being, you know, an author and doing that, I'm doing really on God's will. I'm really his vessel, an instrument in this earth. So sometimes he has me praying. Other times he have me out and holding hands and helping others. So whatever mission he has me on, that's what I'm doing. So my number one desire is to be obedient so that the role at the end of this role here on earth, that I see my Father and King, Jesus.
Awesome. Awesome. Guys, and she does, she calls me Pastor Travis. I said, look, Courtney, I am not a pastor. She says, yeah, I am not a pastor. What you're not going to do. That's what you're not going to do. No, ma'am. What you're not going to do is that. But this your story is so amazing. And we were talking about the beautiful road, and mm-hmm. Guys, I got to show something a little bit later. But all roads aren't beautiful, though, Court. You know, all roads aren't, and we know that we live in Alabama. We know for sure all roads aren't beautiful. No matter where you travel in America, but you're in Texas, though, right?
Yeah, I'm in Texas now.
All roads aren't beautiful. There are some that are nicely paved and some that aren't so nicely paved.
Right.
Some you say, gosh, I hate going on that road because of this. So I hate going on that road because of that. In the beginning, though, in the opening, I mentioned how unique each of our journeys through life is. You have your own. You have your own unique journey through life. Share with us, if you will, some of those things you just was you were talking about, the beautiful road, how someone had those dips and potholes. Share with some of us those things that you saw early on in your journey that made your journey more difficult for you to walk.
Yeah, I will say just really starting out as a young girl, I really had to grow up and do what seemed like at the time adult things. And I just wanted to be a child. I just wanted to go outside, play. I wanted to ride my bike, have fun, hang out with my favorite cousin. Like, that was the life that I wanted. But I didn't always get to live that particular life. I had to grow up really early and mature at a rapid pace. And so for me, just starting out and being a little girl and having to grow up pretty fast, it kind of put me at a place where I felt like I had to be an adult, and I was performing as if I had to be an adult. So I wasn't doing a lot of things that as a kid you naturally would do.
Right.
And so I talk about this in my book, and I identify Stout's Road is where I identified was started really my road to beauty, because I went to the darkest place in my life at that particular time on that particular road. And I overcame it with an encounter that I had with Jesus. And so I just really just thinking about, you know, the road. We always want to take a detour, you know, sometimes we think about, those bumpy roads. We want to go around the dips and the bumps, but that's what really makes life what it is, that what teaches us the things that we need to know. And it also helps us when we have those people that are on that journey where we can say, okay, come on, let's lock arms. I've been through this, and let's lock arms and let me help you get to where you need to be and to your destination. So just really, just having those things that cause you sometimes to grow up a little faster than you would like to, but also being able to reach back and help others along their journey as well.
So I heard you say that you're a little, you felt a little naked, a little vulnerable in doing this in your book, because you were exposing some things or putting some things out there. Let's say exposed, but you were putting some things out there that you said, I would never tell anybody what happened, or never tell that. I would never say that. And how did some of those things begin to impact you, or kind of shape the way you thought?
Yeah. So one, I will say first and foremost, take never out your vocabulary, because one thing I have learned on the road with God and on this journey, you know, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, never is one of those things, just forget about it, because he will tell you to do some things where you're like, no, I said I would never do that. But sometimes, you have to come back and be like, okay, well, Lord, you told me to do it, so I'm going to do it. But honestly, those things had me in bondage. Mm. And the enemy had used those things to keep me quiet, to keep me from speaking out against it, and from keeping me from honestly healing, because writing this book was a part of my healing process.
Okay.
Those things that God had released me from and had delivered me from, but I was still holding myself to those things because the enemy had me in bondage.
Whoa, hold on. So what you said, you knew the situation had changed, but in your mind, you were still trapped in that situation.
Absolutely.
The situation doesn't exist anymore, but in your mind it still existed. Guys, let me tell you something. You could be in a situation and the situation could be past, but as long as we still are engaged in that situation in our minds, let me help you guys out. Our minds cannot tell the difference between if we are still physically in it or just mentally in it, because our minds will respond the same way. We'll still feel the same tension, the same stress, the same nervousness, the same anxiety. Yeah. Your mind can't tell the difference between you being out of it physically or if you're still in it, if you still are there mentally.
You better preach.
That's why it's important that we mentally get over things, because the situation could be gone. But if you're still there revisiting it mentally, you're going to still feel the same things you were, and you'll be 50 years old still experiencing the same fears you had when you was 10.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, your mind has got to come out. When your mind comes out, everything else will. If you could put your finger on a time in your life, put your finger on a time in your life, or if you could say it was at this point on the road that seemed the most challenging, when would that be?
So I would definitely say it was when I was 8 years old. That was the most challenging part of my road. At that age, I did not know Christ as I do today, of course. And I was going through a lot. I was at the point where I was pretty much at my wit's end. I was being molested. I had a younger sibling that I was pretty much responsible for taking care of at the time, because my mother was an alcoholic. And so at that time, she would have these episodes where she would black out, and it would just be me and my brother, and I would have to make sure that we were cared for, and that, of course, we were safe and taken care of. And so it was things going on, and in my life, and I felt like I had no outlet. I didn't have anyone at the time that I felt like I can talk to. And until one day I tried to confide in a teacher, and I told her, you know, some of the things that were going on, but I asked her as if I was asking for a friend. And I detail this in my book as well. And I was just playing in her hair one day, and I said, "Hey, Miss Gooch, you know, I have a friend that's, you know, somebody's touching them in their private areas. And, you know, what would you say to them? Or how would you help them out?" And, you know, she answered the question and she stayed calm and she continued to ask me questions, of course, and I, so that I wouldn't shut down. And so I talked to her and I answered her questions. But later that day, when I went to get on the bus, they pulled me out of the bus line. And I immediately got nervous because I'm like, okay, why is this is out of my routine? And why am I being pulled out of the bus line? And when I stepped into the principal office and I saw Miss Gooch sitting there, I sat down and I started talking to her and the principal. And she asked me, she said, "Hey, Courtney, the friend that you were telling me about earlier, was that you?" And I said, "Yes." And I, wow. It felt good to say yes and release it.
Right.
But
right
afterwards, the principal explained to me, said, "Hey, well, we're going to have to tell your mother about this." Mm. And my heart sunk because I was like, "No, I don't want you to tell my mother," because I knew what that outcome would be.
Oh, wow.
I knew what would come behind that. And she said, "Well, we have to make sure, you know, you're in a safe environment and that this doesn't continue to happen because, you know, we would have to get someone else involved." And I said, "Okay."
Correct.
So they called my mom and they told her. And when they told her, she just gave me this look to where if I wasn't a super emotional kid, but if I was, I would have just burst out crying.
Oh, wow.
Because I knew that look. I knew what came after
that. You knew what it meant.
Yeah, I knew exactly what it meant. And so when we left the school, it was exactly what I knew was coming. It was the degrading and belittling me and calling me names and saying, "How could you, one, go and expose this and really tell this to somebody else outside of our home and pretty much get these people in our business?"
Right.
And two, the question that's really stung was, "How could you let somebody touch you in your private area and you just sit there and let it happen?"
Wow.
And so that, for me, it really took me to a dark place.
I can imagine. Where
I didn't want to speak anymore. I didn't want to trust anybody or confide in anybody.
Absolutely.
At that point where I was just like, wow, as a kid. And it, for me, it was like, nobody's coming to my rescue.
Oh, man. At
that time in my mind, I said, well, nobody's coming to my rescue. And so this, for me, my life might as well not be. That's what I said to myself. My life might as well not be because nobody's coming to my rescue. Nobody cares, you know, what's going on in my life. I have confided in my teacher and told her. And I mean, she's done what she can do, which was to tell my mom. They could have called CPS, but at the time, it was one of those things where they said, "Well, we don't want to get CPS involved because we don't want you taken from your home."
Right.
And it seems like you have a good family. So we won't allow, you know, your family to try to take care of this. Yeah. And so it was one of those things where after that, I was just broken, honestly. And I was also, and I tell the backstory in my book about this, about I was also witnessing my mom being abused. So she was being physically abused by my father. And so a lot of the things that I went through, I would compare to what she was going through physically. And I said, you know, I feel like I'm strong enough to handle this. And it's not anywhere near what she's going through.
Yeah, at least it's not what she's dealing with.
Right, yeah. And so for me, I was like, you know what? I'll deal with this. I'll try to deal with what I'm going through. But the more I saw those different things going on and the more I saw her being abused and then also I was being abused outside of the house and she eventually turned verbally abusive towards me because of what she was going through.
Correct.
And so I went to a point where I just said, okay, I'm going to commit suicide. I just decided one day that I was going to do it. And I sat there as a kid, thinking, like, how can I commit suicide? How can I take my own life?
How old were you?
I was 8 at the time.
Wow.
At this time, I was 8. And I still remember I said, I went through these different scenarios. And this is what one thing I want to point out to people. Never think that a child is too young to not think about taking their own life. There's not an age limit. Yeah, it's not an age limit on wanting to take your own life. At any point, especially if you're going through a situation where it just seemed that it would be better to not be alive, thought that can be in your mind. And so for me, I was at the age of 8 and I decided, okay, I'm going to take some pills. I said it's not going to be as painful, because in my house, I was like, what do I have available to me that I can use? And I said, I'm not about to cut myself. That's going to be too painful. And I'm not going to do that. And I was thinking, I was like, I can't go that route. I was like, we don't have a gun, so I can't do that. And so I thought, and I said, pills. I know if I take enough, I knew at 8 years old, if I took enough pills, that they would kill me.
You knew that at 8 years old.
Yeah.
So at 8 years old, you knew how to end your life.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew at 8 years old. And I knew that if I took enough, it didn't matter what type of pills they were, what they were for. I knew as a child that if I took enough of those pills, that they would take my life. And I was at the time, I was curious. I was always into something. I would be reading everything. And so I got the pills actually from my grandmother's house, because I didn't have them at home, but we would always go to my grandmother's house. And so I would read like the pill bottles, and it would say, take two, or don't take any more than this amount in a certain amount of time frame, because it was dangerous. And so in my mind, I was like, I knew that if I took more than what that pill bottle said, that it would take my life. And so
what, being a kid.
Right. Yeah. And so what I did was it was wintertime, and I still remember because how I hid them is I had this pink bubble coat. It was my favorite coat that I would put on. And I put it on, and I took my Ziploc bag, and I took my Ziploc bag from home, and I put it in my little coat, and I took it to my grandmother's house. And once it was clear, I took out that little bag, and I took two pills from each pill bottle that she had on her dresser. And at the time, she had like a dresser full of pill bottles of pills. And I took two out of each bottle. Some of them I couldn't open, but I didn't worry about it, because it was enough. Once I got two out of the bottles that I could open, that bag was pretty much halfway full. And I knew that once I took those pills, that would be enough to end my life.
Wow, guys, first of all, Court, let me say this to you. I'm sorry you had to experience that in your life. I'm really sorry you had to experience that. That's not anything that any child or any person wants to experience in their life, especially at 8 years old. You know, 8 years old, you want to run, play, ride your bike, play games, you know, play kickball, jump on a swing, merry-go-round, or whatever kids do. But at 8 years old, you are contemplating, and not just contemplating, but planning your own death.
Yeah.
And here it is. And I tell people this, not to glorify or to put anything down. You know, I tell people my mom was an alcoholic.
Yeah.
So I know exactly what you're talking about. I know exactly what you're talking about the back blow of things. And I understand exactly the feelings that come with that and the whole situation, the whole situation. And so I absolutely understand what you're saying by that. So I want to take the moment to apologize to you that you had to deal with that in your life, you know, that your voice was almost silenced, was silenced and taken away from you. Yeah. And I grew up the same way. So my voice was silenced, was taken away. And I'm so sorry you had to experience that in your life at that age, Courtney, that a lot of your childhood was taken away, snatched from you. I'm so sorry you had that happen to you, but I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad you're speaking now. But I certainly understand all those things. That's just a lot, because a lot of people, guys, I want to show you something. I know you guys look at Courtney and say, there's nowhere in the world that beautiful young lady, that stuff happened to her. That's nowhere in the world she dealt with those things. Guys, let me show you something. Guys, when you look at this right here, this is a picture of a road. And everybody's journey is different. No two people's journey is the same. And all roads, and let me just say this, all roads don't look alike. Yeah. Some roads look just like this. There are potholes. There's no real shoulders. There's dirt everywhere, gravel. And you could barely see the white lines that divide the lanes. Sometimes, guys, life looks just like this. Sometimes the roads that we have to travel, the roles that life hands us looks just like this. And we spend a lot of our time trying to dodge one pothole from the next. We spend a lot of our time trying to find the boundaries of where we begin and where someone else is in. A lot of time, life looks just like this. Sometimes our road is a complete contrast to what we want. And you can look at Courtney and say, man, there's no way in the world she had to do that, because you look at this part of her journey and you never guess her road started like this.
Yeah.
You never guess her road. And a lot of us, a lot of people that's listening right now, I know you don't look like the road you came off of.
Right.
You don't look like the road you just took that exit off of. And you wonder, why did my road have to be so rough? Why did my road have to look just like this?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Why couldn't I have had a smooth road? Why? Because everyone's journey is different.
Yeah.
And that, I know you might say, there's no beauty in that road, Travis. There's no beauty in that road. It's not the road that's beautiful. It's the journey that makes it beautiful. Because everything will work for your good if you let it work for your good. How would you say that this road impacted your decisions and your choices?
Yeah. So I would share with you guys, and one of the things, like, not to end off on, I decided to commit suicide because I clearly here today. So something happened on that road.
So you failed somewhere.
Well, I failed, and thank God I did, because I cannot imagine the things that I would have relinquished if I would have committed suicide. So one of the things I would say from that road is that that's where I encountered Jesus for the first time in my life. And it changed my life, because I got those pills and I went into my bedroom closet when I got home that evening, and I was about to take the pills. I sat down, little Indian style. The closet was so tiny, I could only sit towards the wall in Indian style. And I took those pills out. And the last thing I said before I got ready to place those pills in my mouth was, God, take me. God, please take me. And as I got ready to take those pills, and the same way it usually happens to me the day when I'm in the presence of God, I had this overwhelming chills that came over my body, and it just felt really cold. And then this warmth came in, and I felt the love. And I tell you guys, I felt the love. And the innocence of a child is that we don't think how we usually think now in our natural minds. When we're having a supernatural experience, we'll actually think ourselves out of it. But as a child, you're so innocent and you really don't know what's going on, and you're just really going through life. And so I couldn't even at that time think myself out of the experience that I was having. And thank God I didn't, because at the time I was having an encounter with Jesus. And when that feeling came over me, and when I heard the words, "This is not the way," I didn't get scared or anything. I just broke down in tears, and I cried, and I felt this release and a relief that came from being able to have that encounter with him. And I just felt this warm embrace, like I was getting, like, you know, guys know how we like, give me a bear hug. That's what it felt like. It's just this warm embrace.
Right.
Holding me. And for the first time, I felt that sense of protection, that warmth, and that love that I had been looking for as a child. I would say all of my life, but I was just a child. But, you know, during that time, I felt what I had been really desiring and needed in my life. I got that in that encounter that I had with him, and to know that he truly loved me and cared enough to come and say, hey, no, this is not the way. No, there's so much more I have for your life. Your life will be beautiful. There are things that you're going through now that is at the, once you get to the end of this journey, you're going to look back and you're going to say, oh, well, thank God I went through those things. Not that, why did I have to go through those things? No, thank you, Lord, that I had to go through those things. And when I had that encounter, and that's why I say Stout's Road is my road to beauty, is because that's where I encountered Jesus. But that's also when he came into my life, because before that, I didn't know him. I didn't know. You know, I had heard of God. And that's why when I sat down in that closet, I said, God, take me. I had heard of God, but I didn't know, you know, what it truly was to walk with him and to love him. And to have his love. And so having that encounter, you know, on that in that part of my journey really helped me to say, oh, well, I may have felt like I was alone, but I wasn't. And I'm never alone.
Wow. Yeah. So what is right here? Your faith saved you.
Yeah.
I hear your faith saved you. Guys, let me tell you something.
A decision to have faith. Because a lot of times we will say we have faith, but you have to make a decision. It's all about making the decision to say, okay, I trust you, God. Or, okay, what I heard, because I could have said, going crazy. Yeah, I could have said, no, there's no way I heard that. I could have. And, you know, like I said, that's why I said in our adult lives, a lot of times we will talk ourselves or think ourselves out of a supernatural experience because we're like, there's no way this could be happening.
Say that again, Corey.
As an adult, we can think and talk our way out of a supernatural experience because we'll say there's no way this could be happening.
It's possible that a lot of times, Courtney, we've had opportunities placed in front of us.
Yeah.
And that would better us or that would help us. And we talk ourselves out of that. We think ourselves out of that because there's no way in the world this could be happening for me.
Right.
And there's no way in the world this could be happening to me. And you said something. You said, I'm going to show that road again. You said, you got to a point where you understood that it's not just this road is happening to me. I'm not just asking why I'm on this road. I'm grateful I've been on this road. And it's because we began to realize it's not that this road, what's on this road is happening to me. What's on this road is happening for me. Because let me put it this way. If we didn't have those potholes on the road, we wouldn't know how to dodge some of the things we had to dodge in our life. Okay, wait a minute. Am I the only one that's been dodging some things? If there were no potholes on the road, you wouldn't know how to swerve and dodge some of the things that life throw at you now. The reason you can swerve and dodge some of the things that you're swerving and dodging now is because there were some potholes that you had earlier. I know you don't want to admit it. You want everybody to think everything's pretty with you. But the reason I can swerve and dodge some things, Courtney, because my life, my road looked just like this.
Yeah.
I knew now what I know now, I know how to dodge that thing now.
Right.
And I know that there are some Dodgers listening right now. Mm-hmm. I know we got some Dodgers who are listening. If you are a Dodger, do me a favor. Go ahead and put it in chat. I dodged it. I dodged it. It came your way, but I dodged it. It supposed to mess up your suspension, but you dodged it. Mud was supposed to be all over the place, but you was able to. I know. I ain't going to go there.
Dodge it. Come on. You preaching. You preaching right now.
Dodge it. If it had been smooth, you would have never known you were supposed to dodge when you did. I'm glad I had some potholes, Courtney, because I learned how to dodge some things in life. When life got hard, when life got difficult, when life became tough. And I listen to your story, and I see you now. It's those moments that you learned to dodge on that road that got you here. Yeah. It was those moments that you learned to dip. And when you couldn't quite tell where the lines were on the road, You understood where you need to be on the road. I don't know about that lane, but I know what I'm going to do over here. It helped you to see. It helped you be determined to see where this road's going to take you. Because there's sometimes we can be on the road of life and we just want to quit. The temptation, let me tell you something. Here's the thing, man. When you're on the road of life and it looks like this, and it looks like this, the temptation is to quit.
Yeah.
That's the temptation. The temptation is to quit. Your book, Stout's Road, The Road to Beauty. I'm going to put that up. There it is. Your book, Stout's Road, The Road to Beauty, it's a journey of healing, restoration, and how an encounter with Jesus at age of 8, your faith, 8 years old, saved your life.
Yeah.
It's literally saved your life. It's like, it's kind of like a roadmap. Your book is like a roadmap through your life. We sat and listened. Your book is a roadmap through your life or on your journey. What was your motivation for writing the book?
Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. Me and God went through tug of war. Tug of war to get this book out. I was just like, God was on me, honestly, if I'm being honest, for years, God had been telling me to write this book. And I said, no, no way. I'm not telling anybody this. Like you said earlier, a lot of times we want people to just see the beauty that we have today, but we don't want them to know what we went through or how we got to that place. And so that's where I was at. I was like, my life is amazing. Like, I do not
want to
go back.
Yeah, I'm doing good. Now, why do you wait to ever get good that you want me to show the ugly stuff? When it was ugly, you should have me saying it was ugly. But now that it's looking good, you want me to tell the ugly stuff? Come on,
Yeah. And so, you know, I sat down one evening and me and God had been going back and forth. And, you know, it's funny because I have my notebook. I have all these notebooks because I'm a writer. Like anytime God gives me something, I'm creative and my mind is always going. And so I'm always writing something.
I know the feeling. I know the feeling.
And so I had my little notebook and I was sitting there and I said, and God was really on me about this book. And I said, okay, God, I'll make a deal with you. Like I usually try to do, and like a lot of us try to do, we try to make deals and negotiate with the top negotiator. Just stop it, okay? You're not going to win this one. And so I said, okay, God, in order to get you off my back about this book, I'm going to write the outline. I'm going to write where each chapter is going to be, and that is it. I'm not doing anything else. And so it was so funny because I started to write. And once I wrote the outline, I flipped the page and I wrote chapter 1. And once I started writing, I could not stop writing. I could not stop at all. And my face at one point was covered in just tears. My eyes were so puffy. My hands was aching. And this is the crazy thing. I said, God, why would you do this to me? Because I didn't even pick up, because I only planned on writing the outline. I didn't get my laptop or anything. I was literally writing everything by hand. And so my hands are aching and then my face is covered in tears. My eyes are swollen. I got a headache because I'm just crying and all over the place. But I could not stop writing. And once I got to the end of the book and I wrote that last sentence, I took this deep breath. And once I exhaled, it was like, whew, a freedom, this type of freedom that I hadn't felt in my life. And God said, well done. You have finally been obedient to what I have been telling you to do all this time. And this is what I needed for you to. I said it was the completion of my healing journey, but it was the completion of me closing that chapter of the things that happened in my past. Because I want to make it clear, there's some times where we're going to have to heal from something that happened 5 minutes ago. We're always going to be healing from something. But for me, this was the healing from that those traumatic things that as a little girl, that little Courtney went through. And that's why I dedicated this book to little Courtney, because there were things that she went through that I unintentionally silenced her. And I would not allow her to speak. And she kept trying to speak. And she kept saying, hey, I need to get this out. I need to say this. I need to get this out. Mm-hmm. And I allowed her to speak. And when I go through the things that I went through as a child and the abuse that I witnessed and those things that I even went through as a child as far as molestation, it was like I was sitting back at that age as that little girl as I was writing. And so when you guys read this book, it's one of those books where it's written super simple. It's not any elaborate words, any things that you won't understand. It's because I was that little girl and many times in this book writing those chapters. And I wanted to leave it in that fashion because I know there's going to be some young people that are going to be on their journey and they feel like, oh, I'm at the end of my road. But not. And I know that this book is going to land in their hands. And I want them to be inspired to know that, hey, somebody went through something similar to what I'm going through, or maybe the exact same thing as to what they're going through, and they came out on the other side.
Wow, guys, did you hear that, Courtney? Your story is amazing, and good luck on that negotiation part. We see how that works.
Listen, I don't even try anymore because I have lost too many battles. I was like, Lord, I thought I was a good negotiator because I do this in business all the time and I have really good skills in this area. But when it comes to the top negotiator, the master,
we know you lost it because the book is here. So, we know you lost that negotiation too.
And you know, the crazy thing is, and so I sat on this book, I actually wrote it June of 2023. I sat on it a little while and I said, God, okay, I know I wrote it. I got it out. What, you want me to release it now? And you said, yes, release it. And so for a little while, he took me through. Okay. He helped me. And I thank God for being so graceful because he really do allow us. Like sometimes we are hard headed, but it's still grace in there because he was telling me to release it. And I said, God, I'm not ready. I don't want people to know this. I don't want anybody to look at my mother a certain way because I absolutely adored and love my mother.
Absolutely.
With everything that I went through and everything that happened in my life. Of course, unfortunately, you know, we lost her in 2019, but I did not want to release it because I didn't want anybody to look at her in the light that wasn't positive. Correct. And so I said, God, I don't want to release this. I don't want the backlash that may come with it. And God said, do you want to be obedient to my word or do you want to worry and care about what others have to say?
Correct.
More. And so I said, well, I know what disobedience has gotten me. And not being obedient. I said, okay, Lord, so we're going to release it. And I know you got me because you've had me all this time. Like he's had me, my back, you know, through everything that I've been through. Stout, this book is just probably 1% of the things that I've been through in life. And so God has had me. He's walked alongside me in this journey. Mm-hmm. And he's been my one consistent. And with all of us, he's our one consistent thing that we can look back and say, if whoever left my side, the people who I thought would never leave me left my side, the consistency that has been in my life has always been God.
Wow.
And God, I know when he tells me to do something that I need to go ahead and do it. And there's somebody else, freedom, that's on the other side of that.
Say that. Guys, look at her book's name, Stout's Road. And she said that's where everything changed for her.
Yeah.
What you may not have Stout's Road. Your Stout's Road may be called 56th Street. It may be called 8th Avenue. But wherever that tipping point of change occurred, she had to make that decision. Courtney, you said earlier, you said faith you decide. You have to understand faith is a decision. You have to decide to believe in something. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, you make a decision to believe in something. If you're sitting in a chair, you have to make a decision to sit in that chair. You have to decide to have faith. And her change came on Stout's Road. Yours may be at your job. It may be on a treadmill. It may be while you're cooking dinner. It may be while you're driving your car right now. It may be while you're at work right now. Whatever your Stout's Road, what it's saying to me, Courtney, is this. We all have to come to that point where we have to look at ourselves, make that decision. I'm going to believe something different than what I'm believing about myself right now, that I can change, that this can change, that my life can change. We all have to come to that part where we have to start making excuses. Mm-hmm. And come to that point and say, I'm going to believe something differently today. And, yeah. and that's what I'm hearing. Everybody comes to that. Everybody has a Stouts road. I don't care where you. Everybody's gonna have. You're gonna come to a point in your life. You're going to have a Stouts road. You're gonna come to that point where you're at your wit's end. You ain't got nobody else to help you. You got nobody else to lean on. You got nothing else to do. And you're gonna say, "Okay, it's just me."
Yeah.
You're all gonna come to that point where you're gonna have to make that decision. You're gonna have to make that decision. Your journey, man. Good grief, Court. Good gosh. People could say, man, there's no way in the world. But your journey has taken you over some potholes. Potholes and unexpected bumps. And you've even had to make sure you were in your correct lane at times. I'm pretty sure people, girl, get in your lane. Stay in your lane.
Yeah.
What can you say are the things that kept you going and kept you motivated?
Yeah, I would say the number one thing, which probably is clear, is the fact that I knew that I had Jesus on my side. Like, I knew that without a shadow of a doubt. Like, with regardless of what I was going through, what I was looking at, where it looks like, oh, if I was sleeping in my car, I knew that. Okay, God, it's a reason for this. It's something that you're gonna do out of this. Yeah, something. Because I know that you saved my life for a reason. Wow. And so that's my one thing that I hold on to, regardless of how it looks or how difficult things may get. I always say, okay, God, what is it? What is either the lesson in this, or who is it that I'm going to be able to bless from this? Because nothing is in vain. Yeah, nothing is in vain. Like, none of our experiences are in vain. And so if you have that outlook, regardless of what you're going through, either it's a lesson that God is trying to teach you, or there's a blessing that's going to come out of it where you're going to be able to bless somebody else.
Wow, guys. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, where can someone get a copy of your book? And also, if you could say something, and kind of in closing, where could you, if you want to say something to encourage someone that is hope that you know, that's kind of hoping that their role gets beautiful like yours, what's something encouraging you could say to somebody who, and I'm gonna be honest with you, Court. The show is going to be heard by thousands of people around the world. Some people right now listen to this show and say, oh, my God, that was me. I was Courtney. Oh, my God, that was me. I was in that situation. What's something that you can say that can encourage someone right now who's dealing with that, whose voice has been taken from them, who hadn't had the courage to come forth and speak for? And where could they get a copy of your book?
Yeah, absolutely. So you guys can get a copy of the book. It's on Amazon. It's right now the Kindle version is on Amazon. We'll actually have the paper copy where you'll be able to order it off Amazon as well. We're hoping to get it into other distribution centers, but stay tuned. And you just put in Stouts Road. It's a unique title. So if you put in Stouts Road or Stouts Road, The Road to Beauty, it should definitely come up for you. And what I would say just to encourage someone who can relate to my story or saying, hey, I'm in a part of my life where I am near my wit's end and I'm trying my best to hold on. Mm-hmm. The first thing I would say is you cannot heal what you won't reveal.
Girl.
If you do not speak and you continue to silence your voice, you won't be able to heal those things. You have to let it out. So I would encourage you to find, if you don't have a therapist, find community. Community is so important. We all need community because you need someone that can be able to speak into your life, somebody that can be able to help you through what you're going through. And you also need, if you can get a therapist, that's perfect. I went through therapy at different stages of my life. And also trust in God, trust in his word and holding strong to the promises that he has given you. Sometimes we say, I don't have a promise for God, or I haven't had an encounter with God. I challenge you on that. I guarantee you that you have. You just probably didn't perceive it. And there are many promises that God has promised to us. When has the last time that you went and searched out the promises of God in the Bible? That's promises that he has given to all of us. And so, mm-hmm. and so search it out, because God, one thing he says is, if you seek me, you will find me.
You will find me.
Yeah.
So you won't need me. You won't need a GPS.
Exactly.
I'm easy to find.
Yes. And so go and search him out. And one thing I will offer to people, I also have a private healing group. It's called The Road to Beauty Healing Journey Group. That's is on Facebook, where people can request to join. It's a private group because it's one of those things where it's a safe place for individuals like yourself, where you need somebody to walk alongside you during your healing. Or if you're on the road where you're like, I don't know if I need to go left, right. These bumps are back to back. I need a little help. And so I do have that healing journey group. But make sure you find community, some people that are like-minded and people that can pour into you and that can help you and that can pray. Because things are changed when we pray. So if you only can find one person that can pray, find you somebody and connect to them. And so don't try to do it alone. That's number one thing I would say. Don't try to do it alone, because that's where, when we're alone and we get in that isolation and solitude, that's when we start to really allow our mind to take over and those intrusive thoughts to really take over. So pull on somebody else to say, hey, I need a little help here. I need you to lock arms with me and help me on this journey. And I promise you, you'll find somebody. There's somebody out there that's willing to help and to pour into you.
You know, you said something really important, guys. I know, guys. You said everything we can't do alone. And we're in a society where we believe, I don't need no help. I can do it by myself. And guys, I'm trying to listen to this. Courtney said, man, you know, my faith is very important to me. What I believe is very important to me. She said, but I also reached out and I got some help because I couldn't do it alone. I'm praying, I got faith, but I couldn't do it alone. Through this whole conversation, through our whole talk, you point out how important your faith is and how important you to believe in something different is. But at the same time, you said, Chad, but I still couldn't do it alone. I had to use both of those things to get where I am. I had to use both of those to get around these potholes, because life didn't stop lifing. Life never stops lifing. It's still life.
Yeah.
And so I like the fact that you said that you said you can't do everything by yourself. You can't isolate yourself and say, okay, I can't. No, you cannot.
Yeah.
If we could all do it by ourselves, it would be only one person on this earth. The fact that this earth has billions of people means we can't do it by ourselves. Pretty much means somebody wanted us, God wanted us to have other people around us.
Yeah.
So, guys, Courtney, this is your group, the Road to Beauty Healing Group on Facebook. That it?
Yes.
All right, awesome. Guys, visit it. I will be joining Courtney, so there you go.
We are kicking off, actually our first meeting will be February the 22nd, so you guys can get in there. Yes, you can get in there, you can join, but it's open. I was taking 22 people because you know sometimes
I'm gonna get what I can handle,
right?
Get what I can handle.
Exactly. Yes. But I told God when I did this group, I said, well, God, whoever you send, whoever needs somebody to lock arms with them or somebody to walk alongside them on this road to beauty, send them. And so if it's more than 22 people, me and God going to have a talk. But
if he send you more than 22, that means he's saying you can handle more than 22.
Exactly. Yes. And so, yeah. And so he'll strengthen me for it. And so I'm open to it.
Courtney, thank you so much for being a part of the show today. I mean, you were, man, absolutely amazing. You made tears fall. I ain't gonna tell you I was crying. Something was in my eye. But you were amazing, Courtney.
Thank you.
Your story is incredible. Those aren't just descriptive words I'm using. I mean, no one could look at you and say, this is the road that you are. No one could look at you and say, there's no way, Courtney, that your life and was like this, represented this. No one can say that, because there's no way. And here it is, you are a contrast to where your life started. a contrast to those things. So thank you so much for being part of the show. We're so glad you're here. Man, it's absolutely amazing. Guys, listen, not all roads look alike, and not all journeys are meant to be the same. The one you are on may be a stark contrast to what you want it to be. Man, the temptation is to quit where you are. That's the temptation, is to quit right where you are. It's to pull over on the side of the road of life and park. The only way to truly see what's ahead of you is to leave what's behind, to leave what's behind you. It's the only way, only way. Cordy, I'm so glad you were here. Let me go ahead and get us out of here real quick, Cordy, before they say something to me. I got to get us out of here the right way. Guys, it's been a real blast. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in to today's show. Guys, don't forget, you can visit us on your favorite streaming platform like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Pandora, and so many more. We want to thank our very special guest, Courtney Cox, for being here today. Guys, thank you so much, guys. Don't forget to visit our YouTube page. That's Tell Me Something Good with a capital T. And guys, listen, also, when you're on Amazon, don't forget to get a copy of my book that I wrote, Always Inspired, Practical Ways to Be Inspired Through This Madness We Call Life. You can do that right now, guys, or you can use this QR code, scan it, and get a copy of the book. Guys, we got to get out of here. But as always, in parting, if you're going to tell me something, then tell me something good. I'm out of here. I got to go.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.